Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for listening each week. Each week I get emails from different listeners and with questions or prayers, and what a blessing it is to be a part of your life with this ministry. Here at the Seed Christian Fellowship, our prayer is that we all come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. If you'd like to join us in person, we would love to meet you and greet you and shake your hand and see you. We meet at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California. If you can't join us in person, you can always join our live stream. Our live stream is at 9 a.m. Pacific, and you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com and click on the live stream, and you can chat, you can worship, you can write your prayers, and people will pray for you. We want you to know that God loves you. If you've been with us for listening to the programs for a while, at least through the first part of this year, you'll notice the theme is faith. Faith. We have found faith in a fiery furnace. We have found faith in a lion's den. We have found faith when we face giants. We have found faith when we are surrounded by prophets who speak against us. We found faith when we're paralyzed. We found faith when we're blind. Faith. What is faith? How do we have faith? I typed the word faith into Google the other day. 770 million results in 1.3 seconds. Ooh, baby. The computer dictionary defines faith, quote, confidence or trust in a person or thing, faith in another's ability. The writer of Hebrews expresses it this way. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. Eugene Peterson, who wrote the Message Bible, a modern paraphrase of the original Greek, translated Hebrews 11, 1 and 2 this way. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on which we can see the act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd. Hebrews 11, 1 and 2, the Message Bible. An American missionary in Africa wanted to translate the English word faith into the local dialect. He could not find its equivalent. He went to an old sage who was himself a fine Christian for help in rendering the needed word into an understandable language. The guru studied it and finally said, "Does it not mean to hear with the heart?" Wow, I thought that's a great illustration, to hear with the heart. The act of hearing with the heart is what distinguished our ancestors and set them above the crowd. Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. So what? And who do you put your faith in? That's my so what question that begins. I'm going to give it to you right at the beginning. So what or who do you put your faith in? Before we come to God's word, let us come to the Lord in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Lord, teach us to hear with our heart today as we open your living word. Help us to have faith. May our faith be strong and not superstitious. May our faith be fearless and not fearful. May we have faith to walk the path that you call us to walk. Today, help us to hear with our heart. Amen. We come today to a wonderful, faithful story of two completely different people. Scholars have called this story a miracle within a miracle. As I've studied this story this week, what I came up with is that these stories teach us to come to Jesus no matter how much faith we have. The story teaches us to come to Jesus no matter who we are. This story teaches us that Jesus loves to have people come to him. I encourage you to put yourself in the story and then put the story in you. I'm sure that you will find yourself somewhere in this story. Luke chapter 8, verses 40 through 56. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to the house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. And as Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, people are crowding and pressing around us." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the home of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She's not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand, and he said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Luke chapter 8, 40 through 56. Wow, again, these miracle stories of faith are recorded by all three synoptic, that means similar, synoptic gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In the opening verse of this story, we're told that Jesus returned. I always say, well, where did he return from? Well, let me set these stories in the context of chapter 8 of the Gospel of Luke. We're told at the beginning of this chapter that the women were followers of Jesus. There was Mary Magdalene, whom Jesus cast out 7 demons, Joanna, the wife of the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. Jesus teaches the parable of the 4 soils and then describes who really his true family is. And when they find the disciples out in a boat on the Sea of Galilee in the middle of the storm, Jesus is sleeping and the frightened disciples wake up. He calms the storm. They arrive safely on the other side of the Sea of Galilee and Gentile, not Jewish area. They meet a demon-possessed man. Jesus cast out the legion of demons into a herd of pigs. The demon-possessed man is healed and returns home. Jesus and the disciples now get into the boat and return to the other side of the Sea of Galilee to the town of Capernaum. Jesus returned from all that ministry, calming storms at sea, casting out demons, to find a crowd of people gathering around him and welcoming him home. I love the first line, Jesus returned, they welcomed him because they were expecting him. Well, just a side note, Jesus one day will return. It's my prayer that each and every one of us will gather around and welcome Jesus. Why? Because we are expecting him. I say, put yourself in the story. Put yourself in the scene. Jesus comes home. The crowd is large, loud, excited, and expecting Jesus. As Jesus leaves the boat, the crowd gathers around him. A man by the name of Jairus comes up to Jesus and falls at his feet. Whoa, 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 stop. Wait a minute. Do you know who Jairus is? Jairus? Well, Jairus is the synagogue ruler. This means he's the president of the church. He's the head of the church. He's the local head of the church. Jairus is the leader. Jairus gets to choose who reads scripture, who prays, who lights the candles, and who gets to roll up the scrolls. Jairus, he was a man of prestige, power, honor, education, and stature. He was admired, esteemed, and respected. Do you know that the name Jairus means he enlightens? Jairus was enlightened, powerful, and respected. Well, he was like the Billy Graham of his generation, maybe. By this time in the ministry of Jairus, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law are gathering in the synagogue, the church, trying to figure out how to trap this Jesus character and get rid of him. Jesus was a troublemaker for them. And as the synagogue leader, Jesus would have been privy to all these conversations. Maybe he was even part of them. But on this day, Jairus has a problem. Jairus has a huge problem. His one and only daughter, who is 12 years old, is dying at home. Jairus needs help. And now this powerful, respected, righteous, enlightened Jairus comes and falls at Jesus' feet. He begs for his one and only daughter's life. Jairus was a fearful and a man searching for faith. He is afraid of his only daughter dying from this gravely ill illness. His only hope is to find this Jesus guy and everyone is that everyone's talking about. Jesus does miracles. He heals people. The head of the synagogue is now reduced to being, well, the head of his home. His faith in God drives him to fall at Jesus' feet in humble submission. Let me say that again. His faith in God drives him to fall at Jesus' feet in humble submission. Enter stage left. The crowds are crushing in and around Jesus. We are now introduced to an unnamed woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. Put it in context. What happened 12 years ago for you? In 2012? Where were you 12 years ago? How old were you 12 years ago? Jairus' only daughter was 12, and this unnamed woman has been suffering from some kind of medical disease for 12 years. Jairus had been blessed with 12 years of joy. This unnamed woman had been given 12 years of suffering. As long as Jairus' one and only daughter has been alive, the unnamed woman has struggled with her life. We are told by the gospel writer Mark that this woman had spent everything she had on going to every doctor for a cure. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to send you a Bible. We have a man in the church that bought a box of the one-year Bibles where you read the Bible in 1 year. If you'd like a copy of the one-year Bible, you can email me at PastorDave@TheSeedChristianFellowship.com, and I'll get you a Bible. We'd love to pray for you. Our prayer team would love to pray. You can go to our website at www.TheSeedChristianFellowship. Click on the icon for prayer and write your prayer, and we'll pray for you. We're talking about Jairus and his daughter and the unnamed woman. And as long as the daughter's been alive, the woman has suffered. Well, you know, I can identify with the unnamed woman. When I came down with my rare skin infection in 2013, I was seen by 14 different doctors with no cure in sight and, well, much money spent. I was told that I was intriguing, that there was no diagnosis of what was in me. This went on for 7 years, no cure. I can really identify with this woman. Can you? Let us look at the contrast between Jairus, the powerful, prestigious, and influential leader of the synagogue, and this unnamed woman with a bleeding problem. This woman was not high and mighty like Jairus. She was low and needy. Because of her disease, she was an outcast. She was isolated, lonely, and put outside the town. She was untouchable, not allowed in the synagogue, not allowed around others because she was unclean. This woman walked around begging in shame, fear, disgrace, and dread. Like Jairus, she had heard about Jesus and the miracles he had been performing. The lepers were healed, the blind were given sight, the deaf heard, the lame walk, storms were calmed, and the dead are being raised. This diseased woman had to think that maybe, just maybe, if she could get close enough to have Jesus' shadow fall on her, she could be healed. There was a superstition in those days that you got close enough to a powerful person, you would receive some kind of that person's power. We're told in verse 44 that this woman comes up behind Jesus and reached out and touched the hem of his garment. Immediately her bleeding stopped. The Greek word for immediately, well, it's an adverb, and it is parakrima, which means at once, without delay or hesitation, suddenly, or we translated immediately. What a great and powerful scene this is. As Jesus walked by, at once, without delay or hesitation, suddenly and immediately, this woman's bleeding of 12 years came to a complete halt. Boom. Jesus stops and asks, "Who touched me?" Don't you find that interesting? Jesus knows that someone touched him. The crowd is crushing in on him. Peter tries to point out the problem of trying to find the one person who touched him. Lots of people probably had been touching him. The healed woman is silent. I think of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden when they are hiding from God. God calls out and asks where they are. God knew where they were. All he was asking is for Adam to see and Adam to Eve to not be silent. Jesus tells Peter that power had gone out of me. Jesus knows who touched him. Jesus knows his power of healing and life giving and who gives it, he gives it to. So why does he call out and ask who touched him? I believe he does this for the unnamed woman who has been shamed, ridiculed, isolated, called unclean by the crowd. My goodness, look again. We have the leader of the church, the synagogue, falling at Jesus' feet, bringing Jesus to his home, and we have a diseased, bleeding woman who had been cast out of the synagogue. What a powerful scene. It would have been amazing. It would have been amazing to be there. Listen again to these verses. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Luke 8:47-48. Jesus wanted to bring this unnamed woman out of the darkness of her sickness, shame, fear, and isolation. Put yourself in this picture. Here is this unclean woman falling at Jesus' feet when only minutes earlier, the prominent, influential leader of the synagogue was at Jesus' feet. Then comes her public confession in front of all those who had shamed her and isolated her. She told everyone that when she touched Jesus, she was instantly, without hesitation, immediately healed. Pause and take this picture into your mind. What was Jesus? Whoa, stop. What was Jairus thinking? What were the disciples thinking? What was the crowd thinking? What was this poor, lowly, broken, and sick woman thinking when she was healed and standing before Jesus? Jesus speaks words of life. Jesus speaks words of healing. Jesus speaks words of restoration. Jesus uses a word for this unnamed woman that is never used again by Jesus in all of Scripture. Jesus calls her daughter. That's the only time that word is used, daughter, by Jesus. Jesus calls her his family. She once was lost, and now she's found. She once was outcast, now she's welcome. She was covered in shame, and now she's embraced with honor. Daughter. Jesus not only welcomes her into his family, but Jesus also says, "Your faith has healed you. Go in peace." It was her faith that brought her to Jesus, even if her faith was small and superstitious. She still had enough faith to reach out to Jesus and touch him. It was her faith that had made her make a public confession. It was her faith that healed her. Yes, the Greek word for healed is the same word that was used when Jesus spoke to blind Bartimaeus. The Greek word is sozo, and it's the verb in this sentence. It's the action word that says, "Daughter, your faith has saved you and will continue to save you. Daughter, your faith has made you well and will continue to make you well. Daughter, your faith has rescued you and will continue to rescue you. Daughter, your faith has healed you and will continue to heal you." Sozo in Greek means rescue, persevere, make well, heal, or save. This healing and saving is complete today, tomorrow, and forever. Go in peace. Well, as they say in the music industry, drop the mic. The master has spoken, the work is complete and everlasting, the diseased woman is healed. When the inventor of chloroform, Sir James Simpson, was dying, a friend said to him, "You will soon be resting in his bosom." Simpson humbly replied, "I don't know as I can do that, for I do not think I have touched and felt on to the hem of his garment." Wow. So faithful. Back to our story. Wait. Stop the celebration. Someone now comes and tells Jairus that he should not bother Jesus anymore because his daughter has died. The woman with 12 years of bleeding is given new life, but the young girl of 12 has died. I'm sure that Jairus' heart is ready to burst open with sorrow and grief. He looks at Jesus And Jesus says, don't be afraid, just believe, and she'll be healed. I think Jesus is saying to Jairus, didn't you just see what happened with the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years? She was healed. What happened here will happen for your daughter. Just believe. Jesus arrives at the home of Jairus. He takes Peter, James, and John inside with him. Jesus tells the family members and the mourners to stop crying, stop wailing. She's not dead, but asleep. We are told that they laughed at Jesus. They knew she was dead. The Greek word for laughed is used here in the New Testament, and it is used for the laughing of Jesus, or laughing at Jesus. It means to laugh at someone with derision or scornfully, mock them or jeer them or make fun of them. Can you imagine the scene? These people laughed at Jesus. They scornfully mocked Jesus because they thought they knew more than he did. Jesus pays no attention. What a great lesson for us when we are laughed at and scornfully mocked for what we believe. Jesus takes the young girl by the hand and says, my child, get up, Talitha kum. Immediately the child sat up. Jesus tells her parents to give her something to eat. Then he tells them not to say anything. Jane Merchant offers hope to all who fear that cannot commit themselves to God's work and succeed. Jane never attended school unless children's Sunday school at the church counts. At 2 years of age, she was confined to a wheelchair. By 12, she was bedfast with brittle bones that broke whenever she was moving. At 23, she became deaf when she developed an eye disorder that required daily treatment. While her brothers and sisters were at school, Jane taught herself. At age 5, she could read. Her father often took her driving over the green, lush countryside. When Jane was all eyes, a local librarian noted that Jane's inconsistent reading and proclaimed her the best educated person I know. One day, Jane read in a magazine of a poetry contest. She worked and reworked poems she had been writing. Finally, she submitted them. Back came news that she had won a cash prize, honorable mention. She began to write in earnest, submitting poems to any magazine she could find that published them. Good Housekeeping, Saturday Evening Post, and such. Eventually, Jane published over 1,000 poems and won many national prizes. Then 2 books of her poetry were published. Her editors did not know this lovely nature poetry came from the pen of a young woman who was stretched out on her back in bed, unable to move for fear of breaking bones, and unable to hear the beautiful sounds she poetically described. Asked why she kept on when all was against her, she answered, "Faith in God kept me going." Listen, it doesn't matter whether you are wealthy, prominent, influential, and people know your name. It doesn't matter if you are lowly, broken, sick, isolated, lonely, shame-filled, and nobody knows your name. You can come to Jesus. Jairus came to Jesus with a searching faith. The unnamed woman came to Jesus with a superstitious faith. It does not matter if your faith is searching or superstitious. Faith the size of a mustard seed is what we are called to follow. As we follow Jesus, don't be afraid to have the faith to ask for what you need. Jairus had the faith to ask for Jesus to heal his child. The bleeding woman had the faith to touch the hem of his garment. As your pastor, I watched you for faith. Wow. Faith. Let's end with a moment of prayer. Jesus, we are gathered today, online and in person. Sometimes we're reaching out to you in faith. Hear our prayer right now. Pray for Jesus to touch us. We pray for the divine healing for so many in our church who need it. We're praying for physical healing, emotional healing, and mental healing, and spiritual healing. We're praying for the evidence of things that we do not see. Jesus, we believe. Our faith is in you. God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.